I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, rolling right along. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way, AB, with your updates as we kick off hour number two. We always love guests that are willing to come on bright and early in the morning, 7 a.m. Eastern time. And we are lucky to be joined right now by Charles Davis. You can check him out on Fox, does a fantastic job there. Also, NFL Network, college football, NFL draft analyst. Charles, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for getting up early. We appreciate it. And a good Friday morning to you, brother.
And a good Friday morning to you, gentlemen, as well. And thanks for having me on.
All right, all right.
Charles, we're less than a week away. And I, for every NFL fan, I just have to say hallelujah. I mean, thank God we're almost the next Thursday night, Charles.
You know, they teach you when you're young, don't ever wish your life away. Right? You remember when you were a kid and you sat there and said, God, if it could only be Friday so that that test would be over on Thursday.
I've said that many times.
Right? Your life away. None of us really want to do that. But, yeah, I think we're all at that stage now where let's reveal the goods, because all the guessing, all the lying, all the projections, we're about out of juice, and now we're going to get one last gasp of, you know, there's going to be a million trades come trade night. Mm. And you know something? They might actually be right this time, because there's been a real flurry of activity leading up to this draft. This could be a little bit unusual.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to it, Charles, for sure. So let's jump into it. Let's just assume that the Browns don't do any trades with their first and fourth pick.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, man, like, how believable is the idea? There's been some narrative out there on different shows, maybe this one, that maybe the Browns take a quarterback 1 and 4. You think this is a little bit of a nincompoop idea or what?
I'll put it to you this way. In January, I said that tongue in cheek.
Really? Okay.
Okay, but I did say, I was very clear about it. I said, look, I am being tongue-in-cheek here, but when you're the Browns and you haven't had that quarterback since Bernie Kosar, and it would have been Tim Couch, I believe, if it hadn't been an expansion team and they hadn't subjected him to getting hit all the time, but it's the truth of the matter, it's been Bernie Kosar. Okay, so that's the last time you had that quarterback. Yeah, it makes sense to say, well, let's take two bites out of the apple. Let's do that. Ha, ha, ha. Now, let's just look at it. Let's look at it realistically. Who's ever done that? The closest, maybe, Dallas with Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh in the compensatory pick, right? They ended up trading Walsh, I believe, a year later, and he never really panned out in the NFL. A great college quarterback, non-NFL guy. The Oilers took Dan Pastorini with their first pick 1 year. I don't believe they had a second-round pick, but in the third round, they came back the very next pick, Lynn Dickey out of Kansas State, who later, you know, achieved his fortune with Green Bay. Those are the closest we've had. People are going to point to Washington recently with RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
Right.
That was first round, fourth round. Okay? So it's not first pick, fourth pick. Truthfully, I think it's a lot of conversation as we get closer to the draft, because we're about running out of things. And it's something to throw on the table. And there actually is some plausibility to it. But I have almost zero doubt. I have almost no doubt in my mind. Not almost. I have no doubt in my mind. And I don't believe it'll happen at 1 and 4.
All right, Charles. With that being said, if you were to give the Browns a little bit of advice with that number one overall pick, where would you go?
Who's your quarterback that you believe in the most in this draft and take it? I don't think you can afford not to do so. I've made the case on my last mock draft that you could take Barkley at 1 and come back at 4 and get a quarterback. But what if it's not the quarterback you want?
Right.
That's the issue that they have. They've got to decide who their guy is. There's so much discussion now about Josh Allen out of Wyoming, and we can connect dots and make that work. That's not a real issue, okay? They've got Tyrod Taylor. You could draft a developmental guy. He fits the mold of what John Dorsey seems to have picked previously. We could go on and on with that. I'm still not there that Josh Allen will be their guy. I still, for some reason, am stuck on Sam Darnold being their guy at one.
So what about the Charles? What about the Giants, man? They, right now, as it stands right now, they sit with that number two pick. Where do the New York Giants go?
Well, they're going to field a lot of phone calls. You know, continue to field a lot of phone calls. Yeah. But I have the feeling that General Manager Dave Gettleman sticks it to, and then he has options every which way you want to go. Okay, and let's go through them quickly. Quarterback, yeah, you can make the case. Eli's 37. You got to start planning for the transition. A lot of quarterbacks in this draft. You want to fortify the offensive line? That's a big need, right? Well, Quentin Nelson's the best lineman in the draft. He'd be there, too.
Yep.
If you want to go ahead and get the runner, Saquon Barkley. Doesn't get any better than that. And by the way, the Giants are a franchise built on defense. Their rock stars have always been defensive guys, Frank Gifford notwithstanding. Guess what? Bradley Chubb, the best pass rusher in the draft, sitting there, too. He can go in any direction. I think he sticks it, too. And I think he takes a position player, not a quarterback. I'm kind of eyeing Barkley at this point.
Yeah, everyone seems to – I mean, Charles, let me ask you this about Barkley. With your mock draft, and we all understand the importance of quarterbacks, but if you were to say the cleanest prospect, right, the one that you have the least doubt about, would Barkley headline that list?
He would be on that list. Ms. I don't know anyone is going to call because so many things go wrong with running backs. It's just the toughest thing going. Kajana Carter was the number one pick in the entire draft, another Penn State guy who was similar to what we're talking about with Saquon Barkley. Hurt his knee on some bad turf in a preseason game his rookie year and was never the same.
Yep.
So it's hard to go in that direction. Typically, you end up going with a lineman as the cleanest player because you feel like you can always plug him in another spot and he can play. Remember Robert Gallery?
Yeah.
Left tackle, didn't work out.
Yep.
People have forgotten when he got moved inside the guard, he had the shorter arms. He had a very nice career.
He did.
Problem was, he got drafted as a left tackle. And once you get drafted as a left tackle, if you don't pan out, people think you didn't play very well. And that wasn't true with Gallery.
So, Charles, what about my Bills, man? You think they? You think they're going to trade up for a QB? Or what do you think is going to happen there? Because you got
AJ McCarron on the rental,
right?
And I think he's going to play pretty well for you. And that'll be interesting to see if he does, and if they want to make a longer deal with him. But in the interim, there's a conversation that will be had, and if one of these quarterbacks, and slide is the wrong word, but if one of these quarterbacks doesn't tumble off the board in the first five picks, and they have an interest there. They've got the package to go up and get it. They've got the picks at 12 and 22. So they could go up and say, okay, well, let's talk here because there's a guy we want. Could that be Josh Allen? Could very well be.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking to Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, NFL Network, does a fantastic job up early here on this Friday morning with Taz and the Moose, talking a little NFL draft. How about the Jets, Charles? You know, they make the aggressive move. They move up to the number three pick with Indianapolis, right? Say for argument's sake, Allen does go number one overall to Cleveland, right? And the latest buzz around the Browns is true. And for argument's sake, Saquon Barkley does go second overall. They don't trade out of it to the New York Giants. If you're the Jets sitting there, there have been a lot of people that say the Jets really like Baker Mayfield. Then you've got Sam Darnold and you've got Josh Rosen. They've been starving for a franchise quarterback for years. Where do you think the Jets then would go with the third overall pick?
That's where it can really begin. With your scenario, because it's a fun one to talk about. Mayfield seems to be the guy the Jets have locked in on, and I have to submit my final mock draft in the next couple of days. I went to bed last night, and I'd already written in Josh Rosen because I think he's the best pure thrower in this draft. And I woke up this morning, and I crossed it out and wrote in Baker Mayfield. So it's going to be like that for a while. Mayfield seems to be the guy, but in your scenario, Sam Darnold is still on the board.
You got to take Darnold there, don't you?
I think a lot of people have Darnold as their top guy, although if you go into 32 draft rooms, the quarterback order is going to be different than just about every one of them. Trust me on this one. There's not a consensus. But I would think Darnold now would be in big play for them. And that would be an interesting selection for him right there. Now, I will tell you this. In your scenario, if Josh Allen goes one to Cleveland, we could very well have a retooling in the New York Giants camp. Because I think Darnold is the guy that if they wanted to take a quarterback, he would be the one.
Yeah.
And I think that's the contingency that Coach Gettleman and his lieutenants have been going through right now. What if the Browns are real and they take Allen at one? Do we take Darnold at two? you know, or do we sit there and entertain? I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun, but they're going through all this stuff now because on draft night, they don't want to all of a sudden have to convene and have a conversation in 10 minutes. They're having these conversations right now. They know their scenarios.
Hey, Charles, so that's what I was just going to ask you about with the Browns. I was going to fix and ask you if you think that Dorsey and these guys, if they know who they're taking in that number one spot, is it Donald, is it Rosen, you know, Mayfield, whoever, Allen, do you think they know, or you think they're still kind of on the fence, wavering back and forth? Your sources telling you anything? You know, what's your gut tell you?
My sense is that John Dorsey knows what he wants to do there and is telling almost no one.
Right.
We can't keep a secret in the highest office in our country.
That's true.
Okay?
Good point.
And this is not a shot at our sitting president. That's just the nature of the White House.
Yeah.
I think any president that you talk to, if you ask them post-career, what was the most frustrating thing about being president, besides the fact that you're always on 24-7, there's really no getting away, I couldn't stop any leaks. I don't care who it is. I mean, it's easy to point at it right now. But it doesn't matter who it is, because one thing about knowing secrets, and it's just human nature, it's no fun knowing a big-time secret if you can't tell someone you know it and they didn't know it.
That's right.
You got to lord it over people, and that's where it is. So I think that John Dorsey knows, kind of like Dave Caldwell did a few years ago with Jacksonville. I know it seems interesting. You know, now we're looking at it like, well, was that really a big deal? Remember, Blake Bortles went at 3, and none of us saw that coming.
That's true.
No, you're right.
That's true.
He told no one until like 2 hours before he picked the kid. Mm. So that's how he kept it under wraps.
You know, Charles, it's interesting. You know, Taz and I, we've discussed a lot. We've taken a lot of phone calls about it in terms of how you look at the draft, right? Dave Gettleman's been pretty open and honest, the Giants general manager, former Panther GM. I'm there at the top of the draft to draft a guy that's going to one day put that gold jacket on, right? That's my goal as a general manager, is to draft a Hall of Fame player, right? Now, a lot of people believe, well, if you have that kind of a season, you've got Eli at that stage, or you don't have the franchise quarterback, then you have to address the quarterback spot. I'm curious from your perspective, Charles, where do you think the correct logic is? If you don't have the quarterback, do you force the quarterback pick, or do you stay true to your board and you draft the best football player, thinking that if I keep on adding quality football players, I'm gonna find a way to win some football games?
Yeah, I think the latter much more than the former. You force the quarterback pick, you don't have conviction on it, and you're wrong. You know what it does to franchises, okay? And I've talked to so many different guys, and you know this better than anyone, guys. We spend more money, time, effort, now, analyzing these kids, evaluating these kids, vetting these kids than ever before. And has our percentage really changed over the years on quarterback?
No.
Nope.
We're still essentially blindfolding ourselves. Here's the dart. Throw it. Mm. And seeing if you hit the board. And I know people are hearing my voice going, well, what the heck do we need you for? I get it. I totally get it. But ask yourself about your favorite franchise. How many times have you gotten the quarterback position right?
Yeah,
it's rare, okay? And it's just kind of how it works. And look, I'll leave it with this, and we'll move on to something else. The Manning Leaf year, okay? 32 or whatever number teams were at that time. If you could find every GM and give them truth serum and say, who did you like best in that draft, they'd all tell you right now, they'd look you dead in the eye and go, you know, I was really convinced Peyton Manning would be a Hall of Famer. And the truth of the matter is, it's probably leaning more like 65-35 Ryan Leaf. No one's going to admit to it now. That's just how tough it is to decide who's going to be your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a huge decision. So we'll shift gears, Charles. So speaking about the Giants, obviously with Brandon Moss, everything went down yesterday with Heath Gonski. Can you see Dez fitting in?
No.
No.
That's a hard no.
Oh, really?
Hard no.
Explain.
And the reason it's such a hard no is, if you look at the Giants, you look at Coach Gettleman. Now, I've been lucky enough, I've known Coach Gettleman since my high school days. I was fortunate enough to play against his high school team. So I have a little bit of a relationship with him. Not one where we're picking up the phone and he's saying, hey, Charles, let me tell you what I'm going to do at number two. It's
right.
Not like that.
Right.
But at the same time, I've gotten to know who this man is and believe in him in a lot of ways. He's the man who in Carolina would not be bullied about Josh Norman in contract. See ya. He's a guy who, you know, recent years, remember, he lost his job in Carolina because he wasn't going to get pushed over about guys who are aging and wanting more contracts in Carolina and the owner sided with those guys. He's also the guy that has said he wants his culture to get back to being a New York Giants culture. I don't see Dez Bryant fitting into any of that. You're telling me that you're going to tell the world that you're putting Odell Beckham Jr., you're open to talking about him being traded, and you're going to bring in Dez Bryant? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's fair. But even the Dez and Odell, they do have a really good relationship. I mean,
but it probably don't matter when it comes
to
Gettleman. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's... Have you asked the guy coaching them?
that's true.
That's where things start to kick in a little bit. And I totally get it. Look, Dez brings you talent, okay? He's not totally done, but he's on the backside of his career. So he would have to be the guy to understand if I come in, I'm not wide receiver one, I'm wide receiver two, and they're going to play to those strengths. If he's happy with that, that's one thing. You would have to get comfortable with that idea as a GM and as a head coach. And remember, you've got a brand new head coach in Pat Shurmur. I don't know that, truthfully, I just can't see Coach Gettleman even really truly entertaining this thought.
You know, Charles, a couple more before I let you go. NFL on Fox and NFL Network. There's always a riser. Draft night, first round, right? A guy that all is the hot commodity. Charles, if we were to ask you right now, 6 days out from the first round of the NFL draft, if you could project a guy that maybe rises up the draft boards late over the next week, is there a guy that comes to mind or no?
Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle for Notre Dame, if you go back to the beginning of this process, probably was late first round, early second round guy as an offensive tackle, because you have to remember, Orlando Brown of Oklahoma was supposed to be a lock first rounder.
Combine killed him.
And then the combine happened, and now you have, when's the last time you talked about Orlando Brown?
Yeah, no doubt.
So he's probably out. McGlinchey may rise to the middle of the first round. He could very well be that guy that a lot of us had pegged for Baltimore and Orlando Brown to be the bookend tackle with Ronnie Stanley. So I think he's a guy that could be a riser. I think a guy maybe like a Justin Reed from Stanford, a safety, who might sneak into the bottom of the first round. And I'm taking a good look at Carolina. I'm taking a good look at Pittsburgh, where he fits in the role model of what they do. He could be a guy who could rise and become that guy. Guys that are rising towards the top 10, I don't know that we have a ton of those. What's interesting is we may have guys that we projected in the top 10 who may go out of it. Remember when Minkah Fitzpatrick was almost a lock top 5 guy?
Yeah.
We have a lot more projections now. Minkah Fitzpatrick at 11, at 14, at 15. You know, it's a little bit different than what it used to be. Not that he's not still a great player, but the projections have changed. And a lot of people had him rated ahead of Derwin James, the safety from Florida State. A lot of projections now have Derwin James going ahead of him, with James maybe going to Tampa at 7. So you know how it is. It's what my old coach used to call liar's poker time.
Yeah.
You know? we're all sitting around, and the object in liar's poker is to what they used to call bluff. In other words, you lied about what you had in your hand, and then you wanted to see if you could end up with the whole pot. That's what these teams are trying to do. And remember, every guy that visits a certain team, that doesn't necessarily mean that team is totally enthralled with him. And if they don't bring a guy in, doesn't mean that they don't love him. I remember years ago, Mike Shanahan didn't bring Jay Cutler in at all. Didn't talk to him. Didn't send a scout to see him. Didn't attend pro day. Didn't do anything. Drafted him at 11. Knew he was his guy and didn't want anyone else to know it.
Charles, how good is this draft? Some years are better than others. Certainly, it's a quarterback-rich draft. But from your perspective analysis, you know, how many great players do you think we'll end up having coming out of this 2018 NFL draft?
I think we've got a chance to have a really good draft. I think, as you mentioned, if we're very rich at quarterback. I think we're extremely rich at running back. The running back renaissance continues, guys. And I'll do a little pun here. The run on runners begins in round two. And once we hit round two, you'll see them come off the board, tick, 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 tick. You've got tight ends now that, as long as you get comfortable with the idea that tight end is not the position of our fathers and of ourselves, they're not John Mackeys anymore that are blocking people, Mark Bavaro at the point of attack, but they can get downfield and catch the ball. There's a pretty good tight end in this crop, too. Wide receivers, not as top heavy as it was last year, but the value in last year's draft was in round two, three. You know, so for wide receivers, that's something to get comfortable with. Defensive backs continue to come off the boards now and continue to get deeper because of the way colleges are throwing the football. Not many pass rushers, which is very unusual considering how much people throw the ball. This is not a banner year for pass rushers, But interior defensive tackles are pretty good, and you like that gut pressure as well. So bottom line, I think it's a really good draft. Linebackers, you actually have some inside linebackers who can play, and we thought that that was going out of the game as well.
Last one for you, Charles, and it's more about how an organization is run, because earlier in the week there were reports out of Green Bay that got knocked down by Aaron Rodgers that he was a little frustrated by not playing a role in some personnel decisions, right? His quarterback coach leaving the organization, Jordy Nelson, now a member of the Oakland Raiders. From your perspective, Charles, because Taz and I had a good discussion about it, how much of a role do you think you look at a franchise quarterback? Should an organization, you know, give them a little bit of the lean, have them play a role in terms of where the direction the franchise is going? When you look at the likes of a Rodgers, a Breeze, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, how much of a role should those elite-level quarterbacks play in decision-making in a franchise?
I think that you should pull up a chair with them and make it perfectly clear that you're having a discussion about the overall direction of the team, but at no time will you say, okay, tell us who you like, and we'll go get them. There's never that commitment, because there's way more to it than your franchise quarterback knows, and there's no way to take the true emotion and loyalty out of it for your quarterback. Of course he wants Jordy Nelson around. Why wouldn't he? That's his guy. That's the guy he trusts. He's dependable. Does that match up with the overall goals of the organization, the salary cap hit you're going to have, what your evaluation is as an organization about what Jordy Nelson can do these days? And I'm just using it as an example. Those are the things you have to do. Do you want his input? Yes. But your quarterback has to know that as an organization, you're going to do what you believe is best. And as long as you have an agreement on that, you're cool. But if your quarterback thinks that he's sitting in on the meetings like he's doing the personnel, you probably got a problem on your hands. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to separate a lot of things, because if you're a player, you want to ride or die with your guys all the time. And you know, if you do that as an organization, what happens? You get old. You get bad in a hurry. The Packers did it the first time under Coach Lombardi. All right, when he left and turned over to Phil Bengston, that was at the end of the Green Bay run. And back then, you couldn't replenish the way you can now. You can't afford to do that. And I think that's where you are with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Now, as far as the coaching decisions and all that, again, you have to hold all the cards. But it would be smart to know what works best for your quarterback. I think that Aaron is doing a great job playing the company man as well as he should. That's his team. But I thought that was one of the most interesting moves when they got rid of Alex Van Pelt and brought in Frank Cignetti. Mm. Because I don't know that Aaron has any history with Cignetti, and he was very comfortable with Alex Van Pelt.
Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, NFL Network. Charles, fantastic. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks, Charles.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me on, guys. You take care of yourselves.
You got it. You as well. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, NFL Network.
He's the man, bro. He's the man. Love
that
guy.
He's great. So a little bit of discord in Green Bay.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Excuse me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. It was like a cough, sneeze thing.
Freaky thing.
I had some phlegm. I don't know what was going on right there. We got big Taz and the Moose breaking news.
Well, it
is.
Don't oversell us.
No. I'm not overselling anything. It is a glorious Friday. It is a glorious Friday.
Glorious, well, my friend. Butter
almost. Oh, yeah. We'll explain that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Bum.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Dynaflow fell.
That's all right. NFL draft is almost here. Nobody covers it better than the NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts April 26th on NFL Network and on Fox.
I think I just got the name, bro.
All right.
For the special, we're doing our special 8 p.m. Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Want to talk about off the air, or we're going to flush it out on the air?
Well, we got AB here. Maybe
I
don't
want to
talk about it in front of AB.
Yeah, because
that's for sure. Because he'll run and tell some other shows and stooge it off.
We've got big Taz and the Moose news. not just the name of the NFL draft special.
Not really that big of a
We've got other big news. We'll get to that first after the update. Here's AB. Good morning, Andrew. How you doing, buddy?
Guys, I'm doing well.
When you said there's big news about the show, AB's face, he was so disinterested. Like, oh, dude, please.
Well, he's looking to just get through the update.
He really doesn't care. He's looking forward to sitting in the newsroom with his friends from the other show.
Well, this is the 3-minute update. He's an hour away from the 90-second update.
Just to recap my side of the story, as I walked in for this update, hushed tones across the room as if they couldn't continue their conversation between Mike and Taz and Moose since I was here now.
Well, we were talking about you.
And another irrational shot at me sharing with someone what you said on a national radio show that anyone could have heard anyway.
Amazing.
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 You're killing me. Oh, my
You're
goodness.
Killing me.
You are killing
You should take a lesson from Pete in order to stay on my good side.
Oh, okay. Whoa. I got you. All right. No problem.
Bilotti is now going to talk about the glory days of Andrew Bogish.
The Fordham basketball.
Right, Fordham basketball.
That was like 3 days in December of 1974.
How's life on Long Island?
Exactly.
Hoop right. Jones.
Right, yeah. That's exactly
Jones.
Right. No doubt. I mean, you know.
All right. Oh, NBA indeed. Basketball oh, last night. Who really cares?
I feel great every day if I were Taz. I walk in there and basically have a guy that smiles at me ear to ear and reminisces about the glory days of my career.
Well, you joined SmackDown.
Referencing dates, belts won.
Remember that time Spike won the tag title? Taz.
Yes, it's honestly.
I think Pete should grow a beard.
Taz is sitting. You got to understand. You got to picture this. So Taz steps into the studio during the course of a break, right? Mikey is sitting to the left of the studio.
Towering.
Bilotti is stage right. And Taz is basically 2 feet in front of Bilotti.
Maybe. Less than that.
Mikey's got the headset on, and they're staring at each other eye to eye and totally engaged.
Bruh.
So,
from
my vantage point, I'm sitting here. I've got Taz's backside.
Oh my God.
Him throwing his arms around and forth, and Bilotti smiling ear to ear, eating it all up with a spoon.
This is why we can't have video on the show, because that'll all be on video.
Yes,
all of that will be on
right.
video.
If you're video, everyone ever. Needs a Pete Bilotti in their life.
Oh man, he's
that's
the
very
man.
True.
I love Pete. He's the best.
I will say that everyone needs a Pete.
Yeah. Yes,
he walked in today. He was all upset because there was no parking because he never drives here. Pete, dude, we all drive. There's never parking.
It's awful though.
Of course, it's horrid.
I know construction, you can't park anywhere.
That's why I bring the big truck. I roll down the.
May I for a second, please?
Yes, sir,
just please. Intervene because yes. Pete's complaints stem from, as usual, Pete's unfair expectations. All of us who, when we drive here, if we have to. The last resort is parking at a meter in front of our building.
Right.
Pete refuses. Pete's the guy that will drive and park a mile away, get on the subway, and come back here because he's got a free spot.
What's
so
a safe 350.
Four free spots or what's missing, and that's what he's mad
that's
about.
That's
the
problem.
Anchorman. There was no meter spots here today. I had to put it in a garage. So
there's always
Did you
meter
really?
Spots.
You had to put it in the garage?
Yeah.
You go for 65 Hammers.
Parked in
That's
a
right.
garage. Why would you ever
yeah,
come
in?
Because there was nothing to no meters.
There was no spot. That's a lie.
A lie. Thank you.
Within 6 blocks of here at 4 o'clock in the morning, there were no spots?
No spots.
I'm disappointed in you, Pete. Yeah, I disagree with you on that.
I don't believe
you've
that.
You've made a big error. You've been better off spending the $350
Here's the other problem I have, right, is to play to Bilotti's points in terms of no spots. Now, we have alternate side of the street parking. People around the country might not know what it
is. Guy in Iowa was like, what? What is that?
So basically what you have is people in New York City are pigs, right? So you have street cleaners that come by, big machines that'll clean and swipe up, whether it be the garbage, people throwing out their windows, everything like that. They clean up every other side. So every other morning, the street cleaners come by and clean it up, right? Here's the problem you do have, right? Today, it's on the opposite side of our building. And people are pigs with their spots.
Horrible.
Right?
I'm one of them, by the way.
Taz.
I take 3 spots.
Taz, the way you parked your car this morning.
Oh, come on.
Is disgusting. You literally took up two. I was angry looking at your car.
You see how big the truck is, though, bro? It's gigantic.
No. Come on. Taz, you have an SUV.
It's big, though.
It's an SUV. No, it's not that ginormous vehicle you told us you all bought, right?
It's Tahoe Jones.
And you took up. You took up 2.5 spots.
Well,
in your
that's
car.
How I roll. I mean, that's
that's not right.
I know it's not.
That is not right.
It's a
and
douche
it's not
move.
Just you.
It's a douche
on
move.
The side of the street that should really fit about 8 or 9 cars. There were 6 cars because it wasn't just Taz's car. There were about 3 other cars as well that basically parked in there like they were parking in a strip mall.
Before, sir, I agree with everything
you said.
And
that's why Bilotti's going to drop basically $50 to park his car this
He's
morning.
Going for 65. First of all,
you'd rather be in jury duty.
You, Moose, have an SUV. Hey. I have a truck. Let's get the terminology right. I'm insulted you called. Don't do that.
I'll get the social media team.
No.
Friends. I looked up and I was like, I went down. I was like, Taz, come on. I mean, come on.
I got the big truck, bro. I don't care.
I was like, you're taking up so much.
And you know what I do? Then
there.
I sit across the street on those little metal benches, and I sip my coffee, pack a lip, and I watch other people try to pull up, and they can't get in because my truck is there.
Right.
That's what I do at 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
Yep. Picture health.
AB, take it away.
Have I started this update yet? I don't think so.
No.
Let's begin in Miami. The Sixers taking a 2-1 lead on the Heat with a 128-108 win. This was just a 2-point game, though, through 3 quarters. Joel Embiid was back, making his postseason debut with 23 points and 7 rebounds. The Pelicans, once again, handle the Blazers.
Down to Miritich. Good from 3 off the right sideline in transition. And the Pelicans lead it 60-41 with 1:05 to go in the first half.
And that's Sean Kelly on Pelicans Radio. The New Orleans lead stayed in double figures the rest of the way. Miritich scored 30 after Drew Holiday had 33. And in game two, Anthony Davis had 35. The Pels winning last night 119-102. They go for the sweep tomorrow. And as we all know by now, far from a normal night in San Antonio.
It was strange tonight looking down the sidelines and not seeing Pop.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr missing his good friend Greg Popovich, who did not coach Game 3 in San Antonio following the death of his wife earlier this week. The Spurs could not win without him. The 110-97 final puts the Warriors in position to sweep on Sunday. Kevin Durant, 26 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. Playoff hockey, the Washington Capitals, a 4-1 win in Columbus. That series now even at 2, all 4 wins by the road team. The Bruins dropped the Leafs in Toronto 3-1. For a 3-1 series lead. The NFL schedule begins with the Super Bowl champion Eagles hosting the Falcons on Thursday, September 6th. The opening Monday night features the Jets in Detroit and the Rams in Oakland. 7 straight wins for the Red Sox, 16-2 overall after an 8-2 win in Anaheim. Boston hit 371, 11 homers, 27 runs scored in the 3-game sweep. The Diamondbacks beat the Giants 3-1 in their rubber game. Arizona has won all 6 of its series this season. And Arsene Wenger will step down as Arsenal manager after this soccer season. The club has won 10 major trophies since 1996 under him, but is headed for its 2nd straight finish outside the EPL top 4. Guys?
All right. Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. So since this, we launched this show on January 2nd, right?
Yeah.
And it was bequeathed from the mountaintop. Taz and the Moose.
Wasn't my idea.
No, I know it wasn't your idea. We went over that, but it was we were on a conference call, and the decision makers made it be known. And as I said at the time, the first response when I was on that conference call, after Eric Smith said we were going to call the show Taz and the Moose, Taz is from his humble abode in Long Island, said, fine by me. So I was like, okay. Away we go.
That's kind of true.
That is. I'm not lying.
Multiple world titles. I don't want to get into this.
Right. I understand. Multiple. So okay. That's all.
But
well,
I digress.
Right. So then.
But I did say. Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
That's
right.
What
I said. I was like, fine. Listen. I'm happy to have a job. Anyway. So we got into. After that entire, then we launch on Sirius and XM, and we thank all of our affiliates across the country on CBS Sports Radio, and we have another outlet, obviously, on Sirius XM, and now we start on one channel, and now we're on two different channels. Now we're on one singular channel, which is 206 on Sirius and XM and the Sirius XM app, right? But the issue has been when you've gone to listen to CBS Sports Radio on Sirius or XM, right? Is that when you turn now to the channel to 206 from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, it's been no Taz and the Moose. It's been Taz.
T-A-Z.
Right. So
just Taz.
Just Taz. Multiple emails have been sent to executives at Sirius Satellite Radio.
Taz.
Right? Friends have sent me pictures along the way saying you're not even on the billboard. You don't even, when I go to the channel, you're not even recognized as a co-host.
Taz.
I have had multiple people say that to me.
Jesus.
To the point where I had a call Bisseglia one morning. I mean, something's got to give. I mean, at some point
it's
in time.
It's been nonstop. If I helped out, I really haven't said nothing.
No, you've laid low.
You've laid low.
If you want to just do that. Now we can bring about the change to an extent.
You want to upcut the drum roll again? Or
No. It's a celebration. Get a little drum roll.
It's a celebrational moment, I think. It's a celebration moment. We're all happy to say. Go ahead, Moose.
For the first time.
Celebration time.
Right. You go to Sirius or XM 206, and it's now Taz and the Moose.
There it is. It finally happened.
Now there's one caveat to it.
Yeah, there's a little problem with this.
They left the E off of Moose.
Taz and the Moose.
Because they can't fit it on the screen.
Time, the Moose!
The social media team just fixed it. If you check out at Taz and the Moose's Twitter.
Oh, it's fixed?
What? Yeah, the social media team just took care of it. It's fixed.
Really? You sure about that? Uh-oh, look who just walked in the control room. Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Oh, we're in trouble.
Oh, don't let him in. Lock the doors!
Are we in trouble?
Lock the doors!
Are we in trouble? Our boss is here smiling on a Friday morning.
Don't turn his mic on, please.
It's fixed.
Well, it just got warm in here. No. Eric Spitz, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it fixed or is it fixed? Because when I looked this morning, it said Taz and the Moss. just to show you guys how on top of it
yes.
I am.
Wow.
I sent a note to our friends at Sirius XM this morning.
Mm-mm-mm.
With a screenshot of Taz and the Moss.
I said,
you're getting close. As you can see, it's now Taz and the Moss. If you remove the,
oh my God,
will it read Taz and Moose? If so, could you please change? And I got a response.
And the response?
We are gaining on it.
Oh, my God.
It is a number of characters issue.
Oh, my God.
We can make that change.
Thank you.
So tremendous. I expect later today.
All right.
And moving forward, it'll be Taz and Moose.
All right.
This is a great moment.
This is a big moment.
Celebratory moment.
In the history
moment.
Of our show.
Celebratory moment. It's also rare. Thank you, Eric, for coming on the show.
The last time I was in here, it didn't go quite as well.
No, door was open.
Didn't go open. Door was open. There was yelling.
I closed the door this time.
He did close the door.
He did close the door, right?
It was a Friday. It was a Friday. I remember the day, Eric.
It was an hour later.
I remember the day.
It was a Friday. Well, there you go.
Taz and the Moss.
Will soon be Taz and Moose, which is not perfect, but better than Taz.
Right.
And also better than Taz. And the Moss.
Well, thank you, Eric. And that's great news. So, we listen, Eric, just to shift gears, we are, I don't know if you heard us, we're looking to maybe brand to put a different name on the draft special. Like, we want to make it more grandiose.
Yeah.
So, you're okay with that,
What'd
right?
What'd you come up with?
Well, we can't. Well, we have
we're
some.
We're spitballing some
We're spitballing
stuff.
Some okay. ideas. We'll share it with you. Well, yes. Mikey B will.
We can spitzball together.
There it
yes,
is.
We could do that.
Yeah, we could do that. We'll try. So we just want to make sure you're okay, put you on the spot, make sure you're okay with that. We need to have a full branding. The full branding team needs to brand us, though.
I didn't realize we had a branding
team.
We
do. They're big. They're huge. Brandon runs the branding team.
Brandon runs the branding team.
Right. So Bisseglia broke the news about the Taz and the Moss change, and he goes, good news. It's changed on Sirius XM. I go, oh, that's fantastic. Bad news is they couldn't fit your entire Moose on there. I go,
progress.
We'll be on Monday morning, or actually maybe even later
today, maybe.
Maybe later today.
Ends. Yeah, maybe.
It'll be fixed.
Well, we know you're on top of it, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
That's the best thing, and it's always great to have you on the show. It's the first time we've had you
first
on the
time,
program.
Right.
And, I hope it's the first of many. I enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go have my yogurt and get my day started.
And go into your office. That's 77
degrees. Dannon, 0%?
This is La Yogurt, I believe.
Oh, La Yogurt.
Probably ran 17 miles this morning, I assume.
I did not. No running this morning.
And then you go into your office, it'll be 3,000 degrees.
It is. I'm going back to hell. Yes,
as you wear a sweater.
Okay. If we all sat in a room that was 85 degrees all day and sweated everything I ate off.
It's unbelievable.
Maybe you want to try that.
Maybe I should try that. Thank you, Eric.
We don't eat in the studio, Eric. Eric, we don't eat in the studio. No eating either. We do not eat in the studio. Thank you,
Eric. 5-5.
There you go. Eric Spence. I want you to know that.
PD is
two guests for me today.
What's that, Mike?
I get two guests today.
Oh, two guests. We got two guests in the guest file.
Wow.
Both in the 7 o'clock hour. Charles Davis and Eric Spitz.
What a great moment. Two guests. Look at Eric Spitz come in, the big PD, the big boy. So nice him to pop in. He loves us.
Very nice.
He loves us. We're gone. In about 2 months, we'll be done. No. He's firing us. We're all. It's over.
No, no. Listen.
Taz and the Moss.
Taz and the Moss.
That's just the best.
At least they're recognizing there's someone else in the studio with you, Taz. I mean, jeez.
You're always a good sport, Moose. I got to tell you.
There comes a point in time where it's like,
yeah, I know.
Wait a second. What am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, it's like you're fighting with Pete the Body for a Pete Moore spot.
No, listen. Pete the Body just flexed for you, Taz.
Did he really?
Yes, he just did.
I didn't see
MMA
that
announcer, up. Major screw up. What do we mean? We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you. Or the Moss, whatever you would like to say. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So we all remember what happened with Steve Harvey, right? The beauty pageant.
Oh, oof. Yeah, I covered that on a Taz show back in the day, but
right.
I digress.
Messing up the announcement in terms of who won and who lost, and then having to take it back and not trying to joke around about it. Right. And Harvey's great, entertaining guy. Doesn't like to be around people anymore, as we've known now, with his statement in terms of when you work around him. But aside from that, that was a major gaffe by Steve Harvey, right? Mm. So take a look at this. Take a listen to this MMA announcer trying to announce the winner.
For your winner, David, Elijah Young Snipes Terrell.
There,
Wait for it. What?
Hey. My bad. I called it wrong. My bad. I got the scores right. I got the winner wrong. Oh. My bad, my friend. I'm sorry. Our judges called it 29-28, 29-28, 30-27 for your winner, David, the Coffee Boss Booker.
Tell you what, right now, the Coffee Boy's Boss Booker, which is just a tremendous nickname, should take a bowl up his fist and punch that ring announcer right in his lip for messing up. Imagine that.
Can you play one more time?
That's just money.
It's just so good. Play one more time.
For your winner.
Your winner.
David. Excuse me, my bad. Elijah Young Snipes Terrell.
You can hear him pump the brakes. Like, whoa,
but listen to the people in the background. Wait. Booker.
My bad. I called it wrong. My bad. I got the scores right. I got the winner wrong. My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
God. He's not your friend.
Our judges called it 29-28, 29-28, 30-27 for your winner, David, the Coffee Boss Booker.
The Coffee Boss.
Now, I guarantee you, Mikey D. Fight Pass. Do you think that's the last time?
You'll never hear that guy's voice again. The next time you hear him might be a guest on our show because Mikey B, I guarantee, is trying to hunt that guy down. You know he will.
Can I ask you a question? Is you worked for him? If he worked for Vince McMahon, would he be given an Uber ride home?
He'd be given a $75 per diem for an economy rental car to head to the nearest airport and fly home on his own bill. He'd be Gonski.
We'll get into where does Dez Bryant end up? Maybe with the Giants after big news with Big Blue about a star wide receiver yesterday. We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.